This morning, as every morning, and I continually remind each one of you of this, and I hope and pray that during the week that you remember it, and that is our nation. Our nation, as you and I know it, is getting pretty close to collapsing. The nation, one nation under God, is choosing in many different areas to pull away from who God even is, and or to recognize God. I remember well in the days of the Marine Corps in Vietnam and then fighting in the Dominican Republic, I had so much pride of knowing that if I was captured or if I was harmed, that my government, the United States of America, would come and they would get me. I knew that if I was held captive, that other Marines or anyone else soon would be there to free me. I see our nation as collapsing, and I see the collapse of our nation is caused by us walking away from the truth of God's word and from the power of his love. Let me encourage each and every one. Your pastor's heart is so full, I'm almost breaking. Many say they do not fear. Then many also say they do not fear Satan. Fear him. Because he said 7,000 year more experience dealing with human weakness than you've had. Look at a nation that's about to crumble who's putting God's word, the Son of God, on the back burner and saying, well, all other religions are acceptable, but not Christianity. A cardinal from the Catholic Church spoke this morning, and he made a statement that I'm very familiar with me making from this pulpit. Our nation is one generation away from paganism. We are one generation away from not only the collapse of the greatest nation that's ever been known throughout history, but the collapse of the Christian church. People run from God's house when they're under conviction to run to God's house. You and I have a great responsibility. We ourselves as Christians, I want us to wake up to a fact. I know what is in my heart, and as every fighting American will know what is in their heart, and that is we do not leave our men behind. Not one man, not one woman should be left behind. Should that not be the cry of the church, that Christ has sent us? Have we also given up on society to the point that we're ready to go, but we're leaving a man behind? We're leaving those that are in captivity to remain in captivity. That's not right, folks. And it is our obligation, it is our Christian right, it is our Christian love from Jesus Christ that cries out inside of every Christian, I will not leave, I will not depart until all are let off of the battlefield. Yesterday, word came at the late October of this year, a World War II Korean War vet, 85 years old, Mr. Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, was dragged off of a plane in North Korea and is being held by North Koreans. Should not happen. All hell should crumble before America would ever allow one citizen, to say the least, one citizen. But what about a World War II vet that sacrificed so much in the Great War, and you hear nothing about him? The pastors throughout the world are being incarcerated because of their preaching and proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. You and I have no right to stand back. You and I have no right to walk away. You and I have an obligation That obligation is not to yourself only, but that obligation deals with your obligation to your fellow man and to your God. It was Almighty God that reached down with his hand of love and to touch. It is Almighty God that has called us as a nation to take his word. But when we as a Christian nation refuse to take the word of God to a lost and dying world, then this world truly is dying. This world truly is hurting. This world truly is and has turned its back on the creator of this world. Amen. You and I must look into the depth of the spirit that God has placed within us. And as we look at that spirit that God has placed within us, you and I must, by the authority of God's word, stand up for the truth. It will not be by the might of an army. It will not be by the might of the enemies of God that the church will fall. It will be by the destruction from Christians within, refusing to take the word of God to the world. The one who is my enemy today, God says, you go, you share Christ with him. Offer him an opportunity to not no longer be an enemy, but to be a friend. Have we walked away from the precepts of God so much that God Almighty looks down from heaven and he cries to the heart of the church, and the church is dying? The people that represent the body of Christ refuse to stand up and take the word of God. Preachers proclaim or they preach for money. Others refuse to give of the gift that God has given them to a lost and dying world. What hope do we have if God in our generation does not stand up? Well, you see, the God of our generation happens to be the church. We are called to unite together. It is God's calling. We represent the body of Jesus Christ, not Vine Grove Baptist Church. I am not a Baptist. I'm not a Catholic. I am not a Presbyterian. I am not any other denomination. I am a Christian saved by the grace of Almighty God. And God cries out. God points to the heart of you and to me. He looks to the depth of us. And we so often refuse to look at ourselves when God is looking at us. And we see a society crumbling around us. A society in which Almighty God said, I want you to live here. I'm giving you a great nation. Folks, as God has given you and I such a great nation, the United States of America, there's never been one greater. But has God from heaven declared our nation the great whore? A nation that sold God. A nation that's walked away from his truth. Oh, we look overseas. We look to Iraq and says, no, that's the great evil. If that's the great evil, then why aren't our churches packed? If that's the great evil, why do our church in America no longer reach outside the door? But we're collapsing from within. Those who profess to be Christians but refuse to take the message. Folks, our hearts need to be full. Need to be full of the love, but also the power. You see, might of God and the power of God is in the word of God. Oh, when the great battle of Armageddon comes, it will not be won by a sword of God's army. The scripture says it's won by the words that proceed forth from the mouth of Jesus as he comes to take the church home with him. The burden of the United States of America is a burden that God says, I gave you all you could ever dream of. I've given you a nation filled with milk and honey. You're living in a promised land. And yet, do we turn our back on the very God that has given us this promise and that created this land? It will not matter how much property any of us own. We might be buried in it, but we won't take it with us. God owns it. But you see, God owns the church. You and I are blessed by the power of God. And when you know and can feel and can see within your heart that God's word is not fed to the world in power, but in hiding. We don't want to offend anyone except God. After all God did for us was send his son. All God did for us is whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And yet as a nation, we look at that and we say, that's not much. You Christians, what's wrong? You and I are called by God to take a message of truth and love and power. The power comes from the hand of Almighty God himself. You and I are getting ready to celebrate during a time period that we say the Christ came in human form, and that's wonderful. Praise God. But the celebration of who Jesus is not under the tree. The celebration of who Jesus is was hung on a tree. The scripture does not even tell us to remember his birth, but points the finger to the cross where he gave it all. If then your Savior and my Savior gave his all so you and I would have such a great nation, I listen to people whining about what they make. And yet the poorest in the United States of America is richer than two-thirds of the rest of the world. No, we're not starving from the lack of food, but this nation is crumbling and starving from the lack of respect to the word of Almighty God. I have no right to call myself a Christian if I will not follow the calling that God has given me as a Christian. I have no right to do that. You see, folks, you and I must see the urgency. See the urgency. It's just not the crumbling of the United States of America, once known as a holy nation. It's the crumbling of the truth of Christ in the mouth and the mind of the Christian. We back away for fear of man, when man has no power over us. We back away from doing what God has called us to do, knowing that in the calling of God, we will have all the power it takes to complete that calling. Every pastor, every preacher, every member should be aching from within, hurt, broken. God watched his son, and as he watched his son, a baby in a manger, and not one religious leader came to see him. Not one prophet of the day would recognize him. He was brought into the world in poverty. He was brought into the world, though, when the prophets of old had said, "This is how your Savior is coming." And they knew it, but they didn't show up. You and I can look back on that day and we can say, shame on them. Well, will the future generations look back at our generation? Will they not say the same? Same shame on the Christian church. We had rather get in an argument about Christian denominations than to take the holy word of God to the heart and the mind of a nation that's turned their back on him. Leaders who curse God. Leaders who stand in their bully pulpits and say it's okay to commit the murder of the unborn child. And I do not hear a denomination called Southern Baptist really standing up. Oh, someone in an offside statement may say, you know, that ought not be. If it was your child that the enemy was coming in to kill, would you just back off and say, take that child? No, you wouldn't. God did. All the humiliation that God could give to his son was discarded right at the manger. But God said, I love you. Those of you in the 21st century, I love you. Those of you that are going to be fighting in war, I love you. I will always be there with you. It is not God that walked away from us, whether it would be in the foxholes of Vietnam or the cities of Iraq. It was not God who walked away from us. It was we who walked away from God. To talk it is one thing. To believe it is another thing. To live it is truly almost unthinkable. Christianity and the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should not be focused on only focused on Sunday when folk come to Sunday go to meeting. Folks, Sunday go to meeting has led to the destruction of a great nation. When pastors would stand in the pulpit with pride and be proud to call themselves pastors. When they would stand and proclaim there is no salvation outside the name of Jesus Christ and he only. And today we witness Christian pastors saying, well, there could be another way. No, there can't. There can't be another way. If there was another way, Jesus would not have had to come. Jesus would not have had to worry in his physical existence about the ones who were coming to kill him. Just a babe, 2 years old. They decide once again to wipe out the name of the most beloved of God, his son. Do we really believe that we who have called on the name of Christ and we have witnessed such a transformation within our heart, do we not understand that during this transformation, it was the power given to you and the power given to me to not only believe in who Jesus is, but to share who Jesus is in all that we do. Jesus didn't call us to sit down and shut up. He called us to get up and speak out. He called us to stand strong and true for his word. He didn't tell me I have to go fight all of the other beliefs. He told me all I want you to do is stand up for me. I'll take care of everything else. Does Jesus really have a voice in your family? Does Jesus have a voice in your heart? Is it Christ that will come out from within you, or is it the world that will pull us out, and the churches become emptier and emptier. And the heart of God cries out to man. I saw my son come into your world. I saw him come as a babe in a manger. My son came, and you paid no attention. My son came for a purpose. That purpose is to show you the love I have for you. I watched my son that day. I knew when he was born, every breath, everything about him. Before time existed, I knew. I gave him as a present to the world, but they would not open the package. I gave him as a gift of love, so that the human race that I've created, says God, that human race can exist, and that human race will exist through my love. And we turn and we watch more and more leave service to God. Can we imagine the heart of God and the sorrow that had to attack him? I sent my son to you. And I stand back, and in sorrow for you, I see the love be wasted. Because my son loves you so much, I watched him each step that he took. Each human experience he experienced. And as I watched, I also watched those around him. Was there one that would stand up? Would there be any? Would my son walk on the earth in which he created without respect of the creation or from the creation? I watched. I saw. God says, I see all that is going on within the land that I've given you. Can we not read the stories in the Old Testament? Do we not remember the crossing over of Joshua into the promised land? I did not have to cross a river. I did not have to fight a battle. But many before me fought and were ready and willing to die for a promised land called America. And God said, I will give you that promised land. And he did. I will make you strong and mighty where all other nations will fear you. And he did. I will give you everything. All you need to do is accept my gift to you. And he did give us everything. God, he said, I love you. But the time has come when the urgency is here. No man knows the hour, no man knows the time, as to the point of when the Christ shall return. But he will. Will he find faith? Not will he find faith in America. Will he find faith even in his church? Will he find that those who profess to follow him and the walk that he has given us, it's a calling. It's a gift from God. Can we not just take that gift that God has given us with all the power and all his glory? Take that love and apply that love to the spiritual me, the spiritual you. And as we apply that love, that you and I will proclaim in our life by word, by deed, Jesus is Lord. But preachers, we pay them to preach. Churches give an amount to pastors so they can take time to study God's word and not be distracted about what's around. God has blessed me mightily. But I have seen something that has made its way into the Christian realm ought not be there. Pure greed. Individuals focusing more on the wealth of their families than on the wealth of the love of Jesus Christ. And you see, I've got something special. That something special I have is I have the child of God, the Son of the living God, His Spirit indwelling me as all other Christians do. And the only thing that can keep His love and His word from coming out of you and me is you and me. Hell has no power against the new creation we are. Satan runs from the presence of Jesus. He got a whipping several times and remembers it. But does God vary on people, those who profess love? Do we rob God? Do we take from God all that we see Him given? But He gives it to us for a purpose. Your life He gave to us so He could love us, so He could lead us, so He can direct us. All your finances He gave to us. But it's something we're missing. We forget, and it's obvious. He gave us the gift to take the truth to those who don't know Him. Rest of it means nothing. You're going to leave this world soon. All of us will. We only have a short span, a short period. But if God paid attention and watched everything that went on, and yet God gave the warning, Joseph, Mary, you take the son, my son, go to Egypt. Because they're wanting to kill Him. Ever since the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there's been a death sentence imposed upon who Jesus is. We pushed Jesus to the back burner and accepted in the United States of America a generic God with a little g. Let's just say God and let's say, yes, we are Christian, but let's do nothing about standing up, for we will offend. Well, the word of God through love is an offense to those who don't believe. So do you hold back the truth? If someone looks at you and they don't like you, they don't like anything about you, yet you're the one that has the cure for their great illness, will they not invite you in? Will we not then as a church, as the children of God, stand strong and stand in awe? For Jesus has come. Yes, He's born in Bethlehem of Judea. What a great blessing. But He's coming back. He's coming back. And the warning goes out to all on planet Earth. It won't be very long. We sang about it. But do we truly believe it? If we believe that the world is corrupt and everything in America is collapsing around us, what do we do? Just sit down and do nothing? Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you need to do either, but I do know this. As a Christian, there's a Christ, the Holy Spirit, living inside of you that has shown to you and attempting for you to look at Him. And He will show you the path. Oh, folks, the breaking of the heart of God is not a wise move. To refuse the love of Christ is to step in the blood that he shed. God did look down upon that cross. And we know from the Word of God that all Jesus needed to do was to cry out, and legions of angels would have appeared, and humanity would have been off the face of the earth. God could have started over any time, but he didn't. He saw you. He saw me. He saw me as a child. He saw you as a child. He saw you. He saw me before you were even in this world. And the Bible says he knows you, who you are. And each of us put together. And as we get together, one piece here, one piece there, we form the body of Jesus Christ on earth. So where is he? Where is he? Do we or do we not, those of us who profess to be Christians? Folks, you stand for the truth of who Christ is, for God's watching. I believe within all my being, he's watching personally and seeing the decay once again of a nation he made great. But it goes deeper than that. You and I were given a great nation to take his truth and his word to the rest of the nations. And once again, we have committed a great whoredom in the presence of God. Not only have we refused to take his word to the other nations, we won't even take it to the nation that he's given us, in the land of the free and the land of the brave. It is not the army of God within America today that is causing the collapse. No. It's the army of God's fault for allowing leaders that are corrupt to remain lead us. Oh, I know all the hell that I will catch from this. It's from my heart, and it's the Word of God. How can I stand in the presence of God and see anyone walk into a leadership role knowing that they believe in their heart to kill the unborn is okay and do nothing about it? Will God bless a nation who has slaughtered over 50 million of the unborn children? Will not the church stand up and shout out? Your child and my child are out in this world, or they're going there. And yet we blame the world for their collapse or for everything that goes on with them. It is not the world on the outside that is destroying them. It is what is not on the inside that's making them collapse. A person is not controlled by what they see. They're controlled by who they are from within. They can tell you and mock Christ all they wish. They can do all those things. You and I know something. Jesus is real. He's alive today. There was a point in history of the church. That point was this. God had led Israel out of bondage, fed them. They didn't have to do anything. He planned it all for them. And they rebelled against God. And finally, they rebelled to the point, you know what they said? Give us a king so we can be like all the other nations. And God warned them, you do not want that. You do not want a king. A king will demand of you. He'll take your money. He'll take your belongings. That king will not treat you like I do. And yet the nation cried out, "We don't care. Give us the king." And God gave them what they wanted. And their nation collapsed. They wanted to be like all the other nations, and God said, "Fine." And then when that nation looked up, they saw themselves as slaves to foreign nations. Folks, every preacher, every pastor should stand with an awesome warning to the church. God sees. God knows. And he says that my judgment will begin in my house. Judgment will begin in the house of the Lord, and Christ will walk down this aisle one day and will look at each heart to see if that heart is true, to see if that individual knows him spiritually and not with the mind. And if judgment begins at the house of God, what hope do those who are not in here have? There is no hope. But will we be found guilty of the lack of hope because we did not take the message of hope? The hope of God is different from the hope of a man. The hope of God is pure. It comes from God's right hand. The hope of God goes deep to the depth of all our being. The hope of God was given to us. And he says, "I want you to have a viewing. I want you to see my son in the cradle. I want you to see my son on the cross. I want you to know from my heart to yours that my son wants no one lost. He came for a purpose into this land. He walked among man. He was as one of us, but he was not of us. He came to forgive us, and yet we received him not." Is that a problem as God looks on with what he sees? Is it a problem as God looks on if what is there is not? If I call myself a Christian and you say it too, does that truly mean that the saying is true? Is it true? Then if it is, why do we not take the word? It's his. It is not ours. It is not from our mind. It is from the heart of a God who loves us all the time. When I am down, when I am out, it's still the same Jesus that looks out for my well-being and for the pain from within. Because you see, we belong to Jesus. We're kin. And Jesus says, "I look to your heart and I see it plain." Will you proclaim to the world in Jesus' name that I am real within who you are? Are you waiting for another star? The star has come. The king has risen. I have given to mankind all that can be given. You have within your power the power of love that I've given. You have within that power to stand strong, stand firm in the word that I have sown within your heart, within your mind. You know the truth. I love you all the time. But children, if you and I will not stand, God has given us his right hand, and yet we stand not from what God has called. Will God then touch our life again? have you and I, as God cries out, walked away from what makes us stout, the greatness of the land in which we live? Is the greatness of all that God could give. He watched a special nation turn their back on all that he had done, on all that was there under attack. Yet he protected his son. He watched him as he was born. He saw him on the cross, and God ached as he mourned. For the greatest of all love was given to us. And since that time, we've done nothing but fuss. We want more and more, yet we won't use what he's given. Do we not understand? We got the gift from heaven. Jesus was not molded by man's own design. Jesus was given to us by the God who has no beginning and he lives all time. There's no beginning with God. There is truly no ending. Will his people he's called and given so much stand strong from the beginning? We know the truth. We know it well. And yet we see our fellow man on their way to hell. Will we continue not to stand for the truth? When Jesus comes, what will he see in you? It's God that asks these questions to us. It's God who touches every being in that special way. And he says, I love you so much, you were no fuss. I created you for who you are, and I love you like you are. Take my word. I am the star. There'll be no other star that comes. There'll be no other song that will be sung. For I have given all that needs to be given. And it all came from me, from heaven. What do we want? Do we even know? Do we even care who's cast below? Can you and I not look from within? Do we not recognize our kin? Our kin is he who's touched our life. Our kin is he who continually reminds us we are his bride, his wife. Remember, my friends, it won't be long. If America continues as it is going, you and I will witness once again God's nation made of men. Him not in charge. Him not being listened to. That sin, my friends, is on me and on you. It's a sin that we can certainly put asunder. But will we? Or will we watch a great nation go under? Do we not listen to the truth of God? Do we not listen to his voice? It is the trotting, the story of God in our life that you and I need to pay attention to, because it's right. God says, listen to me. Listen to me, child. Keep standing. Keep loving. It'll only be for another short while. But if we continue to walk away from the truth of love, we will witness the day when God will step back because we don't want him. And God says, son, that's on you. And the blood of all of those that could have been true, that blood is on your hands, and I charge you with it. Oh, I love you. You're my child, but I promise you this, I will be true and I will be strong. For they had a chance. Where did you go wrong? When I gave you the power and the strength from above to step out that door and share Christ from above, why did we run? Why didn't we stand? For I want you to know something. Our Savior was a man. He took all the sin. He took all the hurt. He conquered every temptation known to earth. And he says, I do it for you. I give you all I am. That's all we need to follow him. Can we not follow the word of God? Why is God changing? Why is God changing the message from pastors to go a different way? Is it because pretty soon it'll be that day? When God comes down and he says it's over, where will we be found? When the Spirit looks over who we are and what we say we are we truthful? Or did we once again cry out from within, give us a king so we'll be like other men? Yet God Almighty in his mansion high looks straight down through the sky and he sees you and me and he says, I made you greater. The greatness that Yah will give you comes from my son. Because all the sin's been paid for. The guilt is done. Here, I've watched him look at your name and the stripes on my son. Recall the time when he accepted that name. A name when you, above all other, is the name of a Savior. He truly is our Father and our Mother. It's the name like no other name. You and I will reject, and we will follow the line of those we suspect of not knowing Christ, but we go anyway. And God says to you, and God says to me, there's one way. I know him true. He's the Son I entrusted to you. What did we do with the name of Jesus? What did we do with the gift that he brought? What did we do with the love that surrounds us? What have we done? Did we stand? Did we sit down? Did God see us in the battle we fought? Or did we just quit and say, I can't do it? Did we back away from the one who gave it to us? Do we back away from the truth of God, folks? We are collapsing. The truth is all around us. If we continue, it will overwhelm us. The answer is strong. The answer is true. It's not with weapons or anything you can do. It's with prayer to the God from above. It's getting on our knees and saying thank you for your love. It's getting down and crying out to God, forgive us, Lord, for the land in which you trod, we have turned over to whoredom again. We have walked away from the Son of Man. We no longer care what happens to the other. As long as our family's saved, oh yes, right to our blessed mother. It's not me and my family that I focus on. It's a world that does not know the one of God, his very own. A world who doesn't care, doesn't listen. Hear me well. Hear me strong. Church, it won't be very long till Jesus truly shall appear. That day is drawing near. But it is the voice from heaven within our heart. I have no idea what is going on. But I do know this. There's only one song. That song is of Jesus. Jesus from above, who came down to earth to show us true love. And in the love that he had given, the earth ran, for we did think it was a prison. We ran from the truth because we were afraid. Folks, the same truth that walked with you yesterday will be there today. It is Jesus who still is in control of it all. It is you and I that are about ready to fall. When we look at our children, our family so dear, do we dare back off from a message that's clear? Do we back away from the truth we're commanded to tell and let the rest of the world just go to hell? It's easy for the church to do, but that's not the way that God raised you. He did not raise us to turn our back on those who know no different and are off the track. He allowed us to become the nation we are. And he warned us, there will not be another star. The star that I promised, I gave. The promise that God says you can take to your grave. I will step out of this body one day. It is true. But I will never step away from the God who loves me true. When I walk out of this physical being, I'll walk with Christ and his love ever beaming. He will look straight within me, and you he will see. And he'll see the truth about how it should be. You and I live in trying times, but not as trying when Jesus came. And he said, I'm coming at my time. And at my Father's time, I will come at will. I guarantee you, folks, he's coming still. The warning has been given. The skies have shown it. The end of all that we know is sitting at the foot of the cross moaning. The focus must be on those who don't know. The focus must be on those, when we go, they won't go. Those individuals that Christ calls home, who we're leaving behind, that's the only thing you and I could ever take, is the person beside you. All else stays in the grave. It's the spirit that I've given, I will reclaim, and I'll give back to earth your ashes in my name. I'll recreate you and I'll mold you all true. I am the God that truly can do what you can't do. Folks, listen, and listen well. Jesus is coming with a story you and I have to tell. Stand strong, stand firm, and stand on your character, because Jesus is coming. And as he looks within who you and I are, you need to understand. He tells us once again, you saw my star. I'm here now. I've come back. You come unto me. But how many others will we leave because we were hesitant to make the short trip and speak of the love that God has given each of us, to speak of the love that I've given you? That's the greatest thing that you can do. And God says to us, it's about over. Tell the story to your father, your sister, your mother, and your brother. Let them know the truth, and with the truth they will live. Because I am the king, and I continue to be the king still. Let's pray. Father, as each one of us lift our heart to you, Father, I beg you to have mercy. Your power is so overwhelming, Heavenly Father, with each of us. Your love is so outstanding, dear Lord God, we don't understand it. But we pray, Heavenly Father, as you touch us now, that we will truly be about your business. And Father, as each of us give thanks for you and to you, we ask, Father, that that love that you've given to us so true that we will remember it as we break bread, that it was your Son that gave us the gift, and that your Son that gave us the blood that we will never, ever, ever forget. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Give us strength and courage now in Jesus' name. Amen.